Allison, an arborist, friend Chris, an arborist. This is Binary Jazz, a podcast about nothing and giggles. Show premise is Allison brings a topic. Chris and I don't know what the topic is. We try to talk intelligently about said topic until the timer in this video session pops up, puts us into a panic and tailspin, and then we answer listener questions. So happy you could join us. Oh, you know what we didn't do last week?
What didn't we do last week?
Social stuff. So.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I don't either, actually. I just don't remember doing it. So.
We'll talk about social stuff.
You can follow us on Twitter. You know what? You can follow us everywhere. Go to binaryjazz.us and find the place that you want to follow us and do that. Also, if you need music genre for anything, we can create that for you at the blistering clip of thousands a day.
Yeah, a thousand new genres a day somehow. I'm not really sure how that works. This is episode 10,000. Wow. 10001.
Good on us.
Yeah.
Wait, what episode? 10,000?
10,001. 10,001, sorry. 10,000 was last week.
Yeah, I like it better when it's 10,101. Because then you will sound like Bender saying 10101.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get there.
I hope so. Seems a long way off.
Yes.
Four episodes away. Great. So, Chris, there's exciting soccer news this morning. I'm surprised we didn't kick off with that.
What exciting soccer news are you thinking?
I was thinking of the Canada, Mexico, United States hosting World Cup in 2020.
Oh, I didn't see that. Did that get approved?
It's official.
That is exciting. Yeah. When I looked, Salt Lake City was not on the list of host cities, but that's okay because I think I'll make a road trip to.
Where do you think your city will be?
I think Portland was one of the cities they were talking about. I think there is at least one city in California, like maybe at the Rose Bowl. I think BBVA Stadium, BBVA Compass Stadium in Houston might have been on the list. I don't remember. I remember seeing the list a couple months ago, and I wasn't terribly surprised. It was all I think Seattle too, because the Sounders Stadium. I think it was basically they're looking for the stadiums that could hold the most and that were the most impressive to look at. So, yeah.
Where would the nearest to Florida be? I don't know. It's my geography of like.
Well, I looked at the big soccer. I bumped into the stadium list. There was like a list of 35 potential cities, and Jacksonville was not on those. Atlanta, Orlando.
Atlanta probably makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I'm surprised Jacksonville was not on the list because. We host an awful lot of friendlies here. Like, U.S. men's team plays here. U.S. women's team play here. I mean, I feel like every...
Yeah, but Orlando, if they're doing Orlando, they're probably doing where Orlando City SC and the Orlando Pride play, which is a specific stadium.
I wonder if they seat enough. Because you also have the Citrus Bowl there, which has been asked for soccer friendlies, and it's an old stadium, but it's going through renovation and will be beautiful by the time 2026 rolls around, given construction rates in Orlando.
Probably that's what they would be thinking, because the Orlando City Stadium, whatever that's called, I don't remember, is probably like 20, 25,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. Binary Jazz, where we talk soccer stadium capacity.
I know a surprising amount about soccer stadium capacity. It's sad, actually. Well, at least soccer stadium capacity in the United States. Outside the United States, all I know is really big and a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited, and World Cup starts tomorrow, so you know, the next month of episodes here will be all about football. So, Allison, is our topic today football?
No. It should be, but should I literally dropped the ball, so I'm sorry.
That's okay. It would have been a penalty if you had been holding on to
it. It's true. It's true. It would have been a red card.
Okay. My topic I know. My top. I just, 1 week I'm actually going to, like, somehow tie it into the intro seamlessly. Like a ninja.
I would almost be disappointed if that happened, because I feel like the intro is our time to, like, delay not knowing the time.
to delay the frustration. Well,
to at least appear halfway intelligent, you know, a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Well, you might know the topic. You knew Apex Predators.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, that was a little lightweight, though. I'm sorry.
True. I'm just. I like experimenting with different. Yeah, it's an interesting. I feel like Apex, it's the best science experiment. Yeah.
Neither Apex so nor Predator.
You might know the topic this week. I don't know. You might pull out some sort of weird niche knowledge that I wasn't aware you had. But the topic this week is Panchen Lama. I can spell it.
You're going to have to.
Yeah, it's two words.
Because I'm thinking like something like Pantheon and Llama, like the animal.
Yes.
Very familiar with llamas.
Yeah, I'm fairly familiar with llamas, but not the Panchens.
Panchen is Panchen, and Llama is Lama.
And it's one word? Or two?
Two words.
It is two words.
Llama. Llama is separate.
Okay. Okay, so is that like? So I'm reading a series. I'm reading a series of books with the kids by Garth Nix. It's the, I don't know if it's called the Sabriel series or the Aborson series, but anyway, there's this. The Aborson is a character. So it's this world where magic exists and both doesn't. And where magic exists is actually in a physical geographic area. So if you think of like England, like the top part of England is the Old Kingdom, and that's where magic is alive. And then there's a wall, and everything south of the wall does not get magic. And the farther away from the wall, the less magic works. And if you go north of the wall, then like mechanical and man-made stuff doesn't work. So in this world, there is the concept of free magic, and also charter magic. Charter magic is kind of like the force. It's infused in all things, and it's also like an actual, like sort of a written document. So if the force was like a text of some kind, then that would be charter magic. And there are charter stones where the charter magic is infusing the stones to sort of make the charter more powerful and more binding. And charter mages are sort of like the good ones and like the ones that understand and are one with the ultimate flow of magic that infuses all things. And then the free magic is just sort of like rogue sorcerers who do stuff that isn't bound by the charter. So it's generally more like chaotic and destructive. Okay. And additionally, there's this concept of going into death, which is the realm of necromancers. Necromancers typically are free magic magicians, and they will take dead spirits and dead bodies and bind them to their will and make them do stuff that's really nasty. But there's also the Aborson, which is the sort of central pivotal character. The Aborson is a different person in each generation, kind of like the Highlander. Like there can be only one, but at any given time there might be an Aborson and sort of like the next generation. That's kind of that is the Aborson in waiting, which is the book that we're reading right now. Is there's a new Aborson in waiting? And anyway, where was I going with this? Right. Okay.
I don't know, but I'm starting to believe that you either wrote these books yourself because of your expansive knowledge.
No. Like I do have a point. I remember what my point was. Okay. So there's the Aborson waiting. Aborson is a creature, is a character, is a person who can go into death, but is also a charter mage and is the only is the only person who can both wield charter magic and be a necromancer at the same time. And rather than being destructive and using spirits of the dead to bind them to their will, they are helping those spirits continue on into death and destroying the raised dead creatures by sending them on into death.
Go ahead, finish up.
Okay, so there's the abortion, and then there's the abortion in waiting. And so here's where it comes together, okay? The pollen llama is like the abortion in waiting for the Dalai Lama.
I was just about to ask, and you've answered my question. Do you remember what the topic is? Was what I was going to ask you.
It's the next
and
one.
And I believe that it was answered right there.
Yes.
The answer was no. Don't recall what the topic was. It was
pension. Pension. The pension
not
llama.
Not pollen.
You said pollen llama.
Yes.
So satisfying.
The pension llama is the next thing. I had forgotten what it was by the time I got to the circle.
Yeah. So I appreciate your excitement. It has nothing to do with magic whatsoever.
Well, no, but like the Dalai Lama is like is similar to the Pope, where it's sort of like mystically selected by, I don't know, God or something.
It's a culinary term, Chris.
Pension llama.
It is. Well, pension.
And
is so a small pickled carrot. And the llama is the preparation. Pinchon? What's that?
Isn't that a pinchon? Pinchon? Isn't that P-I-N-C-H-O-N?
I was going to say...
You understand how this show works, correct?
Yeah.
I was going to say that I was like, these books sound interesting, but I actually don't know if I need to read them at this point because I feel like I got...
Really... I'm just sort of glossing over the general premise. There's still like all the character stuff. It's good. You should read it.
I'm concerned your summary covered too much.
Anyway, the point is... The pension llama is the next Dalai Lama. So there's the Dalai Lama, and when the Dalai Lama dies or whatever, then the pension llama becomes the Dalai Lama, and then it's the new Dalai Lama. Just like the when the Pope
llama
dies.
Is the Dalai Lama in waiting?
Yes, exactly.
We could have gotten there a lot faster.
Nope. Need the whole explanation.
No, I'm still convinced it's a culinary term.
It used up, what, like 5-10 minutes of the show? That's awesome.
13. Pretty sure we've had a problem like filling content in the past, so it's... I don't understand what's happening today.
Gary got up and let the dog out during the explanation.
I thought Gary was getting up and just walking away. Like, I'm done.
I'm out.
We'll be done speaking at some point.
The laptop screen is closing.
Wouldn't that be weird if that was the breaking point, though, of all the topics or all the tangents like that?
Had enough.
That
book
was
reviews are over the line.
Yeah, that crossed some sort of line in the sand for you, where you're like, I've had enough.
Yeah,
had enough of discussion of literature.
Yeah, I mean, as reasonable as that sounds, given I'm a Floridian, right? We would probably discuss it first off air before I rage quit over book discussion.
I'd like to think so. Although, I mean, the visual of it would be just, wow, he left, but he left his camera on, which I feel like is quite the statement.
Yeah.
I'm so done with this, I'm not even going to use this computer again. I am non sequitur. I was bit in the middle of the back by a spider.
Is there anything sequitur about this show?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Wait, sorry, you were bitten by a spider?
Yes, a wolf spider.
Isn't
about that big.
That, yeah, I was like, that's... You didn't... Obviously, you didn't see it coming.
No, it was in my back. Yeah. I was helping my neighbor move some branches, and then I felt something crawling in my shirt. I reached back there, and then boom. Then he bit me.
Oh, my God. What do you do?
I'm really hoping that I develop superpowers.
Oh.
I mean, what do you do? And nothing, really. I mean, it just...
I love that you're just... You're, like, flexing your arms, like...
I'm hoping,
this
like...
This yeah.
One of these days.
I have a muscle to use.
Pretty sure you need the costume and then the wrist flicking, actually.
No, because Peter Parker had the powers before he made the costume, so...
I'm just trying to get Gary to dress up in a weird costume.
That's true. That's true. We do need
Gary to work very hard at that.
Like, I'm pretty sure there's a weird costume that's necessary for this.
Do we? I don't think we have a Spider-Man costume here. I have a lot of food.
Food costumes or just food in general?
Well, costume and food. I don't know if we have a lot of food. Do we have a lot of food costumes?
I feel like that idea I need to explore more as far as to the whys, but maybe I don't actually want to know. I just
we kind of do like family themes for Halloween.
I feel like I've seen Gary in a hot dog costume.
But like, what's the theme for like? What else was there other than the hot dog? Like, what other food?
There was pizza. There was coffee and a donut.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Like a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. I just pictured like a brown blob, like spilled coffee.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's kind of a bummer. Short straw.
A brown shirt. What are you? I'm coffee. I'm really trying hard here.
One of your kids is like, my dad made me dress up as coffee.
Yeah. Or the, I think the dog now. Or we did tacos.
Gary's storming off again. Also, so
what surprises me,
Sky.
What surprises me is that this is the first time I have left. Oh, this is better. This is the first. Nice view of my armpit too. This is the first time I've left left camera during the show, I think, right?
Maybe. I left camera a lot. If you count me ducking out of screen from laughing too hard.
It's true.
I feel like every time I get on a call, my dog's like, "Oh, I need to go outside." So I'm surprised this hasn't happened before that we got on a call and the dog is like, "Well." As is my custom, you need to let me out, right? So, but
are you in like a sunroom? It's beautiful.
It's just a patio. It's nice
just
today.
A patio.
Yeah.
Well, take your patio for granted, Gary. It's raining
patio
here.
With a dead whatever that thing is. That was a plant. There's still a plant. It's just dead now. It gets a little warm because the roof is metal and the floor is concrete. So we get like in the 90s. In the patio when it's mid-80s outside, but fans and stuff, it works out okay. I'm trying to figure out how to cool it down a bit so I can work out here more. Over my shoulder.
You need to hire people with palm fronds. That's the answer to that question.
Can't see. Maybe it's behind my chair. There's the tree fort is over there, and there's a new addition of a swing.
Sorry. You both live in magical places with just like the most outdoorsy. I need to go to more parks, clearly. I'm just like, oh.
Yes.
How can I fit a hammock on my tiny patio?
So the overhead one, like the single hook like chair thing, might not be a bad option. It's really easy to use a computer now.
More of the cocoon.
Well, no. Here.
He's gonna go get one.
He's not mobile today.
He's gonna come back. Here it is. It looks like this.
Also, audio podcast.
Here it is. It looks like this. So it's just like a single hook on top, and then.
How many hammocks do you have?
Just two. Two seems to be sufficient.
Two seems to be sufficient.
I am familiar with. I am familiar with that kind, though.
Yeah, it's super comfy and easy to use a laptop in.
I think the issue with our little patio is that there's nothing to hang it from. There's no over thing. And we wouldn't be able to stick something into the side of the building because structural integrity.
Yeah, they do make like a metal stand for those. It's like a big arch kind of deal. I haven't used that. I'd rather, I guess, like hurt trees, apparently. Like digging the old hooks. I don't know. I feel badly about that.
Maybe an
indoor. That's not true. I bought some hooks to hang a hammock indoors. There's this they go into the studs like in the, like across
yeah, you
a
need
corner.
To, you so need you to could, find the studs, yeah.
So you can hang a. So I mean they're like really like built for this, and they kind of have a pivot in them, so it's really seems like it would be stable. But I bought them, and then I'm like, it's not going to be a great conversation with Rhonda when I say, hey, I'm going to stick a hammock right here. Take up 25% of this room. So I still have the hooks. I haven't done anything with them. Yeah.
She's not pro hammock. How can she not be pro hammock? She's not pro taking 25% of a room space.
Yeah, I mean, three kids running around. Well, two kids running around. Three of them doesn't run yet.
She's like, I was just like, wait a minute. My children timeline is not great, I know, but Charlotte should not be running at this point.
So Gary, if pension llama is a culinary term, what is the culinary term for?
We covered that. It's a pickled carrot.
Oh, right, a carrot.
And I think that is, I think, yeah, has to be pickled. And I think the, that's the panchan, right? And the llama portion is the preparation that makes it spreadable as though it were like a hummus.
Well, it sounds delicious. I'm on board.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
So you have a penchant for panchan llama.
Today I do.
And from what part of the world is this culinary delicacy from, Gary?
It's Indian.
It's Indian, India. Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
obviously.
You've never had it.
I'm trying to think if I know the word for carrot from some Indian dish, but I don't.
No.
Are carrots prevalent in India?
I don't. It's not in any dish that I've ever known, and I don't. And Aaron, who has been to India, has never said, "Oh, and we had so many carrots." So I'm going to say carrots. No.
You really need to get there, right? The carrots are just to die for.
So I'm going to say no.
Bollywood carrots.
I'm going to say there aren't carrots.
Okay, so
spinach.
Limited magic.
Beans. What do you spread it on?
Bread.
Anything.
I mean, I would spread it on an English muffin, personally, but, you know, I have a strange...
Because of all the nooks and crannies.
Yeah, right, clearly. You know, probably some kind of cracker.
Like a flatbread.
Yeah.
Crispy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, well, yeah, very much so.
We expect recipes in the show notes.
I'm happy to write the recipe. I'm not happy to try the recipe right now. Someone else can do that.
Are there spices involved?
There would have to be.
Surely,
I would assume that what makes it spreadable is the application of pressure and heat. Or, yeah, so you need a pressure cooker to make it spreadable, right?
I mean, perhaps. I'm hesitant to agree with you because I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to disagree with you.
Yeah.
I feel like you should just keep going and
I think you should use a pressure cooker, and once it's pickled, you throw a bushel of pension in there, right? And then a bushel, right? Well, how else would you store them? And then you apply heat and pressure until it's spreadable.
Couldn't you just blend it, like in a blender, without the pressure cooker?
I suppose you could, but that takes away some of the hardiness.
Right.
By using, like, you know, slower process to break down the things that need to be broken down.
I would disagree with that. being the proud owner of a Blendtec, I would disagree with that.
Being the proud owner of a Vitamix, I also disagree.
Wow.
Chris and I are blender people.
Yeah. It's kind of scary that blender people is really a thing, but it is.
I've never regretted my purchase.
What's fun about the Blendtec is it tells you, it has a running count of how many times you've used it. So, isn't it? So, like, mine's at 2,000 something.
Oh, I wish mine had that. That's so cool.
Yeah,
I just have like an estimate in my head of like, well, I use it every day, sometimes twice a day.
Yeah,
and here
what
I
kind
am.
Of you have Gary.
I don't. Here I am as like, you know, this caveman, like just scratching the count of how many times I've used my pressure cooker into the side of it, right? To keep track.
Do you not blend things?
Margaritas.
That counts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, blender is not an appliance that's prominent in our kitchen.
Interesting.
I feel like for
vegan, it will be soon though, because food. Like, you know, when Charlotte starts eating real food, we will do a lot of steaming and blending of carrots, not pickled, mind you. Probably some other veggies too, and cubes and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, maybe yep. Panchen Llama is like, could be a delicious baby food though.
Mm. You guys so anyway, spices.
For your steaming process, I feel like you could boil the carrots for a short amount of time, just enough to get them soft, and then throw them into a blender, a high speed blender, and then put in your spices. And I feel like there should be garlic in there, like lots of garlic.
Like really? Yeah, garlic does seem to fit, doesn't it?
I have to go find pickled carrots somewhere.
Yeah.
How long does it take to pickle something?
A week.
We can pickle that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to pickle something. My sister.
No, Gary, you know, it's a week. That's how long it is.
My sister gave me pickles. Mm, I don't know for what though. They were good.
For what? Because.
I mean, it was an event. It was a holiday. It was a celebration. I don't know if it was Christmas or if it was like a birthday
You don't need an occasion.
You don't need an event for pickles. I agree, but she saw it as a double, like, you know, double dip. Like, here are pickles, and also we are celebrating whatever this thing we're celebrating. So here are pickles in celebration of that.
And
so,
you can't even remember.
It was great, and they were good.
And you can't even remember why.
A little slap in the face.
That to me is not the most surprising part.
They were party pickles and you don't remember.
Yeah, it was a family gathering, goodness sakes, and the bag they came in was cold because they had been refrigerated. Wow. Now it would make sense it was Christmas because we do hot whiskey and honey on Christmas Day, so
that's it. That's all.
Well, no, we also eat things, but I mean, when you start your morning with like a shot of whiskey,
wow.
The day gets a little hazy, you know?
My Christmases are normally hazy, but not because of that.
Yeah.
Just because of, like, normal Christmas cheer, but I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a thing, but it's a thing. It's been a family thing, I mean, I don't know, my whole life.
So everybody just does a shot of whiskey before they start the day?
It's a little more formal than that, but not an awful lot. I mean... Usually we're at my parents' house and my dad comes around with, like, you know, shot glasses of hot whiskey and honey he's been making on the stove. And
that's, you know, amazing.
Some people sip it and some people just, you know.
Slam it.
He's been making in the stove?
I mean, on the stove top, yeah. He's just, like, in a pan, like, saute pan, throw some whiskey and
like
honey.
Like, he mixes the honey in with the whiskey himself.
And a bit of butter, yeah. A touch of butter. Yeah. Not a lot, just a touch.
Fascinating. Just fascinating tradition. I've never
flammable material on top of a stove is generally.
I don't think it's high enough proof to catch fire. Because I feel like at this point it would have in my life. Because if you have a lot of people over, right, the first round goes quickly. So then you have to make more. I feel like that's when the fire would start. You know, like as you're preparing like the second round, and that's never happened. So I don't think it's very flammable.
It would definitely be part of the family lore had it happened. You know, it would go down in family history of like, remember the one?
Yeah.
Remember when Uncle Joe made whiskey?
Yeah.
And then that tradition would end.
I don't know if that tradition would end. Traditions die hard, you know?
It's true.
So I feel like we've got our two options, our two arguments for what Panchen Llama is, and we haven't really expanded on any other potential ideas. So I feel like it has to be one of those two things, obviously. So I think that must mean that it's time to reveal
Find
what
out.
It actually is and which one of us is correct.
The great reveal.
Which is me, obviously. I mean, I talked about why I was correct for 10 minutes in a completely unrelated subject, so obviously. How could that have possibly been in vain?
I wasn't quite sure with that tangent if it was going to come full circle or not.
Well, you know, I did forget why I was talking about those books halfway through. And then I remembered and remembered why it was on topic.
So... Even though I am going to go explore this recipe option, the Panchen Llama is basically the second in line to the Dalai Lama.
Ha-ha!
Yeah. Yeah. Deep sigh from Gary.
I mean, I thought that wasn't even his answer, though. His answer was like, here's like a meandering path down some books I want
to
talk about.
The subject
and the word
of
llama
the
is the same as the word in Dalai Lama, so why not? Like, I feel like maybe half a point at best. I guess we're keeping the score now. That's a new thing, too.
So. I know. Wow, we just really upped the ante as far as competitiveness.
Yeah.
You're just a sore loser, Gary.
They were.
But we're not keeping the score, so I didn't.
It's a really bizarre title. So the title Panchen means great scholar, and they weren't always linked as far as Panchen Lama and Dalai Lama. And actually lately there's like a controversy because it's a similar idea of reincarnation as the Dalai Lama. And the most recent Panchen Lama, the 11th, it's 10th or 11th, I think. There's a huge disagreement because basically the current Dalai Lama is like, this is the Panchen Lama. And the Chinese government is like, actually, no, it's not. It's this guy over here. And the one that is the Tibetans recognized disappeared. So it's a very interesting conundrum of like who's recognized as what. So and it doesn't necessarily mean, so when the Dalai Lama passes away, it doesn't mean that the Panchen Lama takes his place. It's just kind of like a second in command rather than like the second in line. But they, I guess, supposedly like recognize each other reincarnation wise as history continues.
Because the Dalai Lama is really like it's just a spirit that passes through time, and after the Dalai Lama is gone, then they start looking for the next Dalai Lama as it is appears in some small child on the street somewhere or something.
Yeah, like because in the 90s, the Dalai Lama recognized this 6-year-old boy as the Panchen Lama. But then the Chinese government rejected that choice and then took the boy into custody. And now nobody really knows where he is. And then the Chinese government appointed someone else, the Panchen Lama. It's odd.
Yeah, everybody can get you everything in China, can't you?
Yeah, the politicization. Yeah, that's a word. Of the Dalai Lama is also a really interesting and kind of horrible thing.
Yeah, it's very tangled, and like I heard the term and then was like, that's interesting, and then I was digging more and not realizing how much controversy I was digging up in my tangled web of research, especially when it crosses over to like being a spiritual ruler and being recognized. I live in a neighborhood that's like Little Tibet, and so it's like a huge population of Tibetan people. So there's a lot of Tibetan holidays that are celebrated and lots of pictures of the Dalai Lama. And it's interesting because it's like, I'm kind of curious and I want to ask, now I want to ask more, but then I'm like, oh, how tangled of a conversation am I going to get in?
Sure.
With the political nature of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it comes down to the fact that governments understand and recognize that the Dalai Lama is a powerful religious figure with a lot of support and acknowledgement and whatever, and they want to control that. They want to gain control of the people through that means, and so obviously they would pick as much as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Their folks. I'm like, no, this dude. Yeah.
And it's like, it's this guy. No, it's this guy.
Yeah.
And the previous Panchen Lama refused to, like, because when the current Dalai Lama was denounced by the Chinese government, they tried to get the Panchen Lama on board and he refused. And so then they put him in prison. And it's just it's also just kind of an interesting concept to have everybody be reincarnated and then have the Dalai Lama recognize, be like, that's him. Like, I think the whole concept is really interesting.
Do you think, spinning it around a little, do you think as a Dalai Lama there's like stress and pressure in that situation? Like, what if I don't recognize him, right? Like,
yes.
Does that mean that I am not Dalai Lama at that point? Like, did someone misrecognize me? Like, it has to be a very stressful situation. Well, I mean, as stressful as it can be for the Dalai Lama, because inherently,
he's like the calmest seeming dude right. in the world.
Right.
But also, like, I was thinking about this, like, I've had tons of presidents, it feels like. I've had a lot of popes, but I've only had one Dalai Lama my entire life, which is just kind of an interesting, he just feels very, like, similar to the Queen, where I'm like, he's a real mainstay as far as figures in politics and religion.
And also ravishing in that purple dress, so.
He's a real knockout, I won't lie.
This was a fun topic. I mean, I wish that we had spent less time being goofy about it. Chris.
I have a new recipe once I track down some pickled carrots.
Okay, so we have about 3.5 minutes, and we have some listener questions. Let's get to them. We didn't get an influx of new listener questions, which is a shame. We should get an influx of new listener questions. I'm looking at you, listeners. And you can do that by going to the website, binaryjazz.us. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. There's a form there. And alternately, you can go to binaryjazz.us/contact, and it's the exact same form. All right. So,
Or tweet us.
Or tweet us at binaryjazz. So Lisa would like to know, what is the greatest amount of money you would spend on surgery for your otherwise healthy and young or middle-aged dog before deciding their time had come?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, this is a hard one. It's so contingent on income, right?
I feel like it would depend on the issue.
Yeah, I when I read this the first time, I felt like it had a lot to do with like quality of life. Like if their quality of life is being affected, and it's something where they could live a number of years healthily, if whatever surgery was done, then I think that would probably be the deciding factor.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough.
But it also is dependent upon income. I mean, yeah.
Also true. It's one of the reasons I don't have a dog, is because I don't have enough capability to stash enough away for like an emergency fund for the just in cases that happen that you don't necessarily anticipate for owning.
We haven't had any like major health issues with our cats like ever, with the exception of, I mean, we've just had cats die. But there hasn't been like an issue that we needed to go to the vet to have surgery or something to take care of.
Oh. Hello.
It's the face of the question. I would do anything for that dog.
Right. This one had this like weird growth under his eye. We had to remove because it was just got bigger, and he would bang his head into things and like break it open. And I think we spent $400 or $500 on that. And he was miserable afterwards. But he's fine now. I mean, other than being like dopey. Not the smartest one.
Just inherently dopey. I feel like I would spend upwards of thousands if I had it. Like I don't.
Right. But, so there's not a number is the answer, sadly. Like it's true. Contingent on the available cash.
There's garbage pickup happening on my end.
Well, we have another question, but we also have less than a minute, so I feel like the next question should wait until next week.
I like Lisa's questions. Lisa, send in more questions.
Lisa, send in more questions.
Oh, it's been a slice. I'm going to go track down some pickled carrots and see what I can rustle up.
I'm looking forward to seeing pictures of this orange concoction spread on some kind of
There probably is a name for the thing that you invented, and I would be very interested to know what that name is, besides spreadable pickled carrots. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.